Well, thank you again so much for singing. Thank you for being here. We are always tickled to death to have a great time to come together on Wednesday night, and I trust that you're blessed. Many of you traveled last week, as did I, and we had a great time with Amy's family, and I know that many of you did as well, and some of you didn't travel. You just let everybody come to you, and you're the smart ones, but regardless how you did, I hope that you got a good time with family, and we're thankful to be back through Sunday, now to tonight. Brother Jordan Smith has been a great, great blessing to me. Personally, I'm thankful for he and his family, and we are prayer partners. We pray about many things together and text back and forth, and I'm so thankful for his ministry that he has encouraging me, and I hope I'm the same to him. But he's a great blessing, and often more times than in here, preaches to the young people and heads up some of the children's ministries and different things. I'm so thankful for his labor for the Lord. But I ask him tonight to come preach for us, and I know that the Lord was going to do a great work here in our midst, and I trust that you'll be listening. I want to be listening as well. And so with all that said, Brother Jordan, why don't you come preach for us? We're looking forward to it. And open your Bibles up and get ready to hear. We're looking forward to God's work in our hearts.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Well, it's a joy to be with you all. And it's a joy to be with some people over the age of 10. But I'm not going to lie. Most of those guys don't have a complaint in the world. So it's a pretty good ministry to have. So, but it's a joy to be here with you and to be here laboring with Pastor and just to be with our church family. And I'll go ahead and jump right into the service tonight. And if you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14. And I'll be in this passage. I'm just coming off of a 14-night stretch at the hospital, and you get in, you work 14, 12-hour shifts during the daytime hours, and you feel kind of rough. You do it during nighttime when all the crazies come out, and you really feel it. And so I had gotten, kind of in a rut in those 14 days, to be honest, and God got my attention through a little patient. And really, that's where I'm going to focus at tonight, is where God had me. And if you're able and you can, stand with me for the reading of God's Word here in Matthew chapter number 14. And I'll start in verse number 22. And the Bible says this, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'll stop there for sake of time. Lord, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, and proclaim your goodness, Lord, proclaim your salvation. Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, that as we study in your word, Lord, if there's any folk here going through storms, Lord, tonight they would get some promises from your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just settle us in. Lord, do an eternal work in our lives. Lord, may for just a little while we clear everything else out. And Lord, get our eyes set on you. Lord, I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. I told you this message tonight really came in the middle of my 14-day stretch there at work. And your body almost gets automatic in what it does, especially in healthcare. You know, we're there, people come, they're sick. We're there to get you better and get you back home. That's the goal. And I was in my 14-day stretch, and to be honest with you, it was probably the worst 14-day stretch I've ever had at work. It was probably one of the only 14-day stretches I've had at work. But it was very busy, and the patients, I'll just be honest with you, over the last few years, patients get sicker and sicker with COVID. People haven't been able to follow up with their primary care docs, and the patients are just a lot sicker than normal. And so I'd been dealing with some things and dealing with some sick patients, and I'd been very busy. And the night come, and it started off rather well. And I got a call about a patient. They wanted me to come and admit to the hospital. Now, I'm working at a little community hospital. It doesn't have all the services of the larger ones. And so we're limited on what we can do. But I got to meet this young lady. Her body riddled with cancer. And she come in. She was bleeding uncontrollably. And there was not a surgery they could do to stop it. I had read through her notes. Oftentimes when the ER doc calls me, we've got a great computer system. I'm able to pull up the notes from the specialist they see. And I'd read the notes, and specialist after specialist I went through said there was nothing more they could do for this young lady. And as God would have it, He had made our path to cross. And this lady came, and she had no hope. There was nothing I could do for her. And yet they're wanting me to bring her into the hospital. And I sat and I had a talk with the lady. I said, I can give you blood. I can make your numbers look better, but I can't stop it. And therefore, you're going to continue to bleed, and there's nothing that I can do. And she said, well, if it were you, what would you do? And I sat there, and I held this young lady's hand, and there was a peace that came in that room. She said, what would you do? And I got my focus refocused, if you would. You see, this life is short and it's passing. But what we do for Jesus Christ is eternal. And I stopped being a doctor for a moment, and I started just being a believer. And I said, ma'am, I've got nothing to offer to you on this side. I said, but do you know Jesus? She said, I do. I've got to know him really well over the last couple of years. She got to tell me her testimony, and I got to sit there and just speak about the goodness of the Lord over the past couple of years through their journey. And I said, well, ma'am, if I knew Jesus, then I wouldn't hold back here. I said, there's a healing for you on the other side. And I started thinking as I finished up there, and I went back to my office and got back into my said routine of taking care of patients, I started thinking about, why do we got to go through storms? Why do we got to go through storms? You see, Jesus here, he saw, you see in verse number 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Now, we know that Jesus knows all. So Jesus knew there was going to be a storm. So Jesus had a purpose for the storm. And I believe that even today, when we go through storms, when we go through trials, Jesus has a purpose for what he's taken us through. And if I can, just give you a few things that as I studied this passage, God gave me as to why we'll have to go through trials. Now, this is just a few reasons. It's not every reason that you'll ever go through a trial, but these are just a few. Number one, I believe that we'll go through trials to have our focus refocused. We'll go through trials to have our focus refocused here. You see, I see that Peter stepped out of the ship in verse number 30. But Peter began to sink when he saw everything else around him. You see, oftentimes we'll get blindsided, or we'll get caught up in everyday activities. We'll get caught up in our work. We'll get caught up in the day-to-day, and we'll lose track of why we are where we are. And here I see that Peter had his vision refocused simply by saying, "Lord, save me." He got to the end of himself. And God brought him to this storm to refocus him. And I see here that oftentimes not only did Peter go through this storm, not only were the disciples in the ship going through this storm, but we go through storms ourselves. And God uses this storm that we'll go through, whatever storm you may go through, he will use it to refocus you. I had the opportunity a few years ago to work in hospice, and it was the most wonderful part of medicine that I've ever worked, because I don't care what doctor you go to, there's no medicine that's going to keep you alive forever. But in hospice, the goal was to make sure that every day that you had was the best day you could have. And for me, that was win-win every day when I went to work. And you see, whenever I would talk to these people, they would go through trials. And you can really talk to someone who knows their days are numbered. And they'll open up to you. But not only will they open up to you, there's an intimacy when they know Christ that is almost on a different level. And it was a blessing, but you see, without going through that trial, I don't think they would have that intimacy. And the same thing with us, when we go through trials, it's almost not only to redirect our focus, but to bring a more intimate walk with the Lord. And I see over in Hebrews, I won't make you turn there, but Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, sometimes I feel like we'll go through trials so that we can have our vision refocused. And I thought about this week as I just asked God, why is this lady here? And there was nothing I could do for her from a medical standpoint. But God used her storm to focus my vision. You see, Jesus called me to be a light. He called you to be a light. And so sometimes we'll go through the storm so that we can get our focus redirected. Number two, the second thing that I saw is that sometimes we'll go through a storm so that we can have our faith increased, or we can have our worship increased. You see, follow with me down here in verse number 31 through 33. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, sometimes God's going to bring you through a storm to increase your faith. You see, it's easy to get self-dependent when things are going well. It's easy to get self-dependent when things are going well. But when that ship gets to rocking, those waves get higher than you are, you're going to need the Savior. And you see, He's going to take you through some things so that He can take you to the next level in your faith. James said over in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying here is God is going to bring you through some things. One, to let you know who God is. He's going to increase your faith through the trial. But then two, He's also going to lead you to a place of worship. You see, I see over here that Peter here in Matthew chapter number 14, I see that God not only increased the faith of the disciples, He also increased Peter's faith. Now, in this passage, we see that all those that were in the ship said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Okay, flip with me over chapter number 16, verse number 15. And here it says, Jesus says this, it says, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who's the first one to speak up? It says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, I think Peter had to go through this trial to build his faith. Peter had to go through this storm, and he had a personal experience that grew his faith. And when it come time, when people ask, who do you say that I am? When God asked, who do you say that I am? Peter was able to answer because he had been through the storm with Christ. Not only will He increase our faith, but He'll increase our worship. It's easy to worship the Lord when you're on a mountaintop. It's easy to worship the Lord when you're on a mountaintop. I'm not too old, Brother Herdman. My cognitive thinking is getting a little hazy. I think I'm 33. But in my 33 years, to be honest, I think there's been more valleys than there's been mountains. I'm just 33. And I know from experience, the older we get, the more mountaintops, and definitely the more valleys there are. But there's more trials, and there's more storms that we have to weather. And it's easy to worship when we're on the mountaintop. But God sometimes will bring you through a storm to bring you to a place of holy worship. And here I see that when they were on the ship, the disciples, it says that those that were on the ship came and worshiped Him. And simply put, sometimes God's going to put you through something. God's going to bring you through a storm simply to bring you to a point of worship. We're not just called to worship in the good times. We're also called to worship when Things are rough. The Bible says over in Habakkuk chapter number 3 and verse 17 through 19, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the good, in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. You see, we don't just worship in the good times. There's a true humble worship in the bad times. And so I find that God will oftentimes bring us through a storm to get us to a place of humble worship. But then not only will He take us through a storm to redirect our focus, not only will He take us through a storm to increase our faith and our worship, but He will also bring us to a storm to equip us to a future fruition. Simply put, sometimes God's going to bring you through a storm because He's got a plan that's bigger than you are. Amen. I see this in Peter's life when I see that not only did he have to go through this storm, but if you're still over in chapter 16, after Peter answered this, he had the clear vision of who Christ was. And Simon Peter answered and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, Peter didn't know it at the time, but Christ had a large plan for Peter. But he had to take him through the storm first. And oftentimes I'm brought to a place and when I'm in my storm that I don't know why. I don't know why. And there's times when we'll be in our storms and you just ask God why. Why me? Why am I having to go through this? But as God works in your life, you may not see it now, but later on down the road, God has a plan. And I thought about this, Jesus or God, when He worked in the Bible, there was a lot of times that God would send people through trials to get them where they needed to be. He does it the same way today. And, oftentimes we want to go about and we want to do things our own way. We've got our own plans for how we think things ought to be done. And I came across this post on social media. How many of you know that not all of social media is bad? Now, there's about 10% that's good. 90% of it's bad, but there's about 10% of it that's good. And I come across this post, and I thought how true it is and how it fits right into this. And the post simply wrote this, goes like this. It says, I would have pulled Joseph out of that pit, out of that prison, out of that pain. But then I would have cheated the nations out of the one God would use to deliver them from the famines. I would have pulled David out of Saul's spear, out of the caves that he hid in, out of the pain of rejection. But I would have cheated Israel out of a God-hearted king. I would have pulled Esther out of being snatched away from her only family, out of being placed in a position she never asked for, out of a path of a vicious, power-hungry foe. But I would have cheated a people out of the woman God would use to save their very lives. I would have pulled Jesus off that cross, off that road that led to suffering and pain, off the path that would mean nakedness and beating and nails. But then I would have cheated the entire world out of the only Savior that could save our souls. You see, oftentimes we don't understand why things have to be the way that they are. But can I remind you, when you go through storms, maybe, just maybe, God has a bigger plan that you're not seeing yet. I don't know why God chooses to use storms in our lives. But I know that through them, He wants to teach us a few things. And as I studied this week, I just wanted to bring a few things to your mind and let you focus on those, because I know we all go through storms. There's not a person in here that's never going to be challenged by a storm. But maybe, just maybe, He's taking you through that storm to equip you for something that He has later on down the road. You see, the Bible says over in Romans chapter number 5, verse 2 through 5, it says, "By whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You see, sometimes God's going to bring you through a storm just so He can use you later on, because His plan doesn't stop with you. His plan's much bigger than you are. Amen. And so if you're here and you're going through a storm tonight, I can only imagine where you're at in it. I know we all go through them, but may I just encourage you to say, while you're in your storm, make sure your focus is on Him. Make sure your focus is on Him. If your focus is on Him, the waves can't overcome you. Maybe tonight you're going through a storm and He's simply taking you through it to show you just who He is, to increase your faith. Maybe it's to bring you to a place of worship. Or maybe, just maybe, it's to equip you for a plan that's bigger than you are. I'm not sure what we're all going through tonight, but I can say that as I studied this week and God just worked in my life there at the hospital, He refocused me on what really is important. So, Pastor, if you want to come, and I know it's not been quite the normal service, but this is where God had me and He wouldn't let me go anywhere else. But maybe you're here tonight and you're going through a storm. Can I just encourage you tonight that there are things to take from the storm that God's trying to do in your life?
Well, as we bow our heads in prayer and just thinking about these thoughts, we get pretty short-sighted, folks. And we wonder why we're going through what we are right now. And that message, much of it was just to remind us to trust the Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We are assured of His goodness, of His love, of His protection, of His working. Not always the way we want it, but certainly for His glory and for His good, for our good. Would you stand together with me if you're able to, and as the instrumentalists play, just something through. If God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe you are going through a storm right now. "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord," the songwriter said. And you've got something in your heart that you need to pray about. Maybe you and your spouse, maybe you and your children, maybe there's something going on in your life right now. Would you just trust the Lord and realize that He's got bigger plans than what we can see? And that end point really got me, that God could be working on something much, much bigger than just your situation. We're one small part in the big plan that God's got. And I believe one of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to look back and say, "Oh, that's what you were doing. I didn't realize." I'm sorry, I was praying for my little burg, my little neck of the woods, but God, you had a big world that you were working on. And so if you're here tonight, you need to pray. This altar's open for you. Maybe you need to pray with somebody. You'd like to share your burden with someone and you want to do that, we'd certainly be glad to. Maybe you're here tonight, and our last appeal is this. Here tonight, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You've just got something nagging on the inside that you need to get taken care of. You're not certain. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, maybe there's some doubt there, or maybe there's no doubt at all. You just know good and well that heaven would not be your home if you were to pass. Oh, my friend, God doesn't want you to live that way. His desire is that you'd be saved, be born again. And if you need to be saved, I ask you to come. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you be sure about that. As they just play a little bit more, then we'll dismiss. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Brother Jordan, thank you for that message. It was a great, timely message. There's so much going on in the lives of people, and God led you, I do believe, to preach that. And thank you for being a blessing tonight. Well, I want you to, if you got time, get by and see him. Thank him for the message, and just let him know how much you appreciate. Many of you have children that are in his classes, and he serves with Daniel and Kyle, and thank God for him, but you want to get by and see them. And then also, Brother Caleb, he slipped out, but Miss Elena and Caleb, if you want to get by and just assure them of your prayers, let them know that you will be praying for them, and then we'll try to keep up with them, and of course, and as the Lord leads them, if we can be a help, then we certainly want to do that as well. So we've got a lot to pray for. How many of you be praying for the Ripleys through all of this? Amen. And thank God for that. Well, I'd like to do something a little bit different. The instrumentalists don't know, the ones up top don't know, but if you'd get your hymn book and turn to 393, he basically preached about assurance of God, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We don't even need to get the words, Brother Jack. Let's just, hymn number 393, Brother Dan, would you come and lead us? That'll be our going home song. We'll sing that first verse and the chorus, and we don't need any music, we don't need anything. We'll just be like an old-fashioned back-in-the-woods church that had a few handouts that they gave to everybody, and I think sometimes we get a little too fancy. And there's been a whole lot of worshiping God going on in churches without air conditioning, without padded pews, without carpet, without all the amenities that we have, without indoor toilets, without any of that stuff. But boy, did they have meetings with God. Now, I think we can have meetings with God with all those things I just mentioned. So I don't think we have to have an either or case. But I don't want us also to think that we got to have all these things for God to work. Boy, the Lord can work in the midst of some of the most simplest settings. And so as Brother Dan comes to lead us in that first verse in the chorus, I just want us to sing it a cappella. That means without music. And then the way that I sing, that means without talent. And so just however God's put you in there, let's sing together. And then after Brother Dan finishes, we'll be done.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh,